easy is make yourself comfortable and relax. Let us read a few verses on this occasion of the housewarming, house opening program for Pritesh Prabhu and Bhakti Vijayatra. Unfortunately, she wasn't able to be here. But anyway, on that occasion, let's read a few verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 14, Ideal Family Life. Let's begin with verse 2, and we'll read a few verses. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Sri Narada Uvacha, Grihesh Vavastito Rajan, Kriya Kuravan Yatochita, Vasudev Arpanam Sakshat, Upasita Mahamunin. Translation. Narada Muni said, my dear king, those who stay at home as householders must act to earn their livelihood. And instead of trying to enjoy the results of their work themselves, they should offer these results to Krishna, Vasudev. How to satisfy Vasudev in this life can be perfectly understood through the association of great devotees of the Lord. And let's read the next two verses, 3 and 4. Srinvan Bhagavato Bhikshnam Avatara Gatam Ritam Shadadhano Yata Kalam Upashanta Janavita Satsangach Chanakai Sangam Atma Jayant Majavichu Vimunchen Muchamaneshu Swayam Swapnavad Uchita. A Grihastha must associate again and again with saintly persons, and with great respect he must hear the nectar of the activities of the Supreme Lord and his incarnations, as these activities are described in Srimad Bhagavatam and other Puranas. Thus, one should gradually become detached from affection for his wife and children, exactly like a man awakening from a dream. Let's read the purport of this verse by Srila Prabhupada. The Krishna consciousness movement has been established to give grihasthas all over the world an opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita specifically. The process, as described in many ways, is one of hearing and chanting Srinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. Everyone, especially the grihasthas, who are mudadi, ignorant about the goal of life, should be given opportunities to hear about Krishna. Simply by hearing, by attending lectures in the different centers of the Krishna consciousness movement, where topics of Krishna from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are discussed, they'll be purified of their sinful inclination for constant indulgence Anyway, this is talking about a different type of household of indifference and sinful activities. So they'll become purified by association. So, yes, simply by joining the kirtan, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And by hearing about Krishna from Bhagavad Gita, one must be purified, especially if he also takes prasad. This is all going on in the Krishna consciousness movement. Another specific description here is Srinvan Bhagavato Bhikshnam Avatara Katamritam. It is not that because one has once finished Bhagavad Gita, he should not hear it again. The word abhikshna is very important. We should hear again and again. There is no question of stopping. Even if one has read these topics many times, he should go on reading again and again. Because Bhagavad Gita, the words spoken by Krishna and spoken by Krishna's devotees about Krishna, are amritam, nectar. The more one drinks this amritam, the more he advances in his eternal life. So that's part of the purport. It's just anyway, let's say a few words about this. The Maham Vishnu Bhadai Krishna Prasadhana Swami Namaste Saraswati Devi Vachani Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vasti Haradishatani Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Radha Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhaktivedanta Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yes, so how nice to be here with all of you devotees who we know so well and who are very dear to us. And here we are together gathered to share a very important moment with another one of us who is very dear to all of us, who is none other than Bhakta Pritesh and Vijayta. Yes. There are, well, it is called Dasha Vida Samskara, 10 types of samskaras. Samskara, the word samskara literally meaning impression, and the idea is that these 10 types, Dasha Vida means 10 types of samskaras, these are ceremonies performed at critical times in a person's life in which one is making a transition from one phase of one's life into the next phase. And we're talking about really substantial transitions into really substantial new phase of life. So in order to, what might you say, bridge the gap between the previous, what was the program in life of the person, and then into the next phase of life, which may be quite different, really quite different from the one before and any of the others before. So in order to make that transition and take that step into a, what is more or less like a new world of existence in many ways, then a ceremony is performed traditionally at these particular times to make a real impression in the mind so that one steps into the new phase of life on the right foot, so to speak, and strongly, very positively, one moves into that next phase. Yes. Rather than, as happens sometimes, getting caught between phases. You don't quite know where you're meant to be and what you're meant to be doing. So this is the tradition. First, there's the Garbhadhan samskar at the time of conception. And then, well, there's 10. The first hair cutting, the first grains, and there's 10. I don't actually know all of them. But when a person begins their education, that's a whole big step. Of course, wedding, marriage is a samskar. And the last one, the 10th one, is the funeral. A big step into something, a different phase from anything that one has been through during this life, at least. Now, the thing in this regard, here we are doing this, our program and gathering here, entering the house is not exactly one of the 10. But that's okay. It's something like that. It's something like that. Yes, because it's definitely a new phase of existence and a very important phase of existence for the person. And the Bhagavatam, of course, and Srila Prabhupada was elaborating very clearly, and even, you could say, a little graphically, some of the things, we didn't read everything in the purport because some of it was addressing materialists and trying to break them free from their very bad habits, at least in so many cases. But anyway, still, a lot of that is really very relevant here, right now in this program. And for that matter, of course, it's very relevant to all of us, at least those who are householders. It's extremely, totally relevant. And of course, in the verses we read, and I imagine that it has stuck in your minds, the particular point in the sense of preparing and strengthening one's position and becoming properly situated was hearing from the devotees, or just in the broad sense, hearing and chanting about Krishna about Krishna consciousness and all these things. This is just so important. It's not important, it's vital. It's absolutely essential. Otherwise, you're all experienced people. The majority, at least some of you, are very experienced in Grihastha life. And you know so many others. And some, I'm sure, you've observed for many years at very close quarters, householders who are your relatives and close associates like that. And therefore you would know that the potential for just becoming absorbed on the material platform and just caught up in all the very ordinary things of the nice house and furnishing it nicely and decorating it nicely and so on and so forth. It's so easy for people, even for that matter, it can happen with devotees, at least to some degree, without too much difficulty, of just getting caught up in these things. And then the household life becomes, you could say, an end in itself. Like that is it. That is the thing, just being a householder in a house with the paraphernalia, with the family, and that becomes one's life. But for devotees, of course, and Prabhupada was actually saying, for ordinary people too, somehow or other, we should try and get them to come to that point and really change their lives. What makes the difference is the Krishna consciousness, but not just sort of the Krishna consciousness in a vague sense, but actually being engaged in hearing and chanting about Krishna, what is spoken by Krishna, about devotees, and all these things. This is the crucial and critical point. And based on that and its prominence or lack thereof, then the person's life, just the whole life, is molded. Is molded, actually. And to whatever degree, of course, it is not just you're either in or you're out. There are degrees. There are so many degrees and fractions of degrees. We were doing the other day, we were in a place called Reunion. It's an island close to Mauritius, although it's actually essentially a part of France. And it was Sunday night a week ago, we had a japa retreat with some of the devotees from Reunion. There are about 25 of us there, something like that. And one of the exercises, which actually I must be honest, I got from Mahatma Prabhu, who is an ocean of exercises and all sorts of things. Okay, so in this particular exercise from Mahatma Prabhu, he says, grade your own japa from 1 to 10. 1 being terrible, 10 being perfect, pretty much. And so grade yourself. And he says, use decimal points if necessary. So in other words, it's not just a question of in or out, or good or bad, or up or down, but there are so many. It's a very detailed type of situation. But really the crucial factor which makes the difference is the degree, the quantity and quality of hearing and chanting about Krishna. And that differentiates between, it makes the difference in terms of degree between, on the one end, being on the material platform, just basically more or less wholly and solely, or at the other end, being completely transcendental. That's not easy, of course. But the idea is for householders, for everyone, but here, of course, we're particularly focusing on the householders, is to, as much as possible, have within one's the world of one's household life, to have as much hearing and chanting. And in fact, it was interesting, I found it interesting, in the two verses that Narada Muni is speaking, and is particularly saying, hearing from devotees. Yeah. Hearing from scripture, of course, but hearing from devotees, that personal association with devotees. I'm sure you've all heard many times we talk about Srila Prabhupada discussing the verse Nashta Prayeshvavaja Srinacham Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamashloke Bhakti Bhavati Nashti. That by regularly attending classes on Bhagavatam and rendering service to the pure devotees, all that is troublesome within one's life is practically completely destroyed. And then everything becomes auspicious. So there is talk of service to two Bhagavats, the book and the devotee Bhagavats. And we have heard that Srila Prabhupada, in discussing this, asked the devotees of the two Bhagavats, the book and the devotee, which is more important. And I must say, here and there we ask the devotees exactly that question. And it's quite interesting the answers we get. But anyway, Srila Prabhupada's answer was that of the two, the book, that the person Bhagavata is more important, because Srila Prabhupada said, he can pull your ear. And when someone's pulling your ear, it's hard to fall asleep. Yeah, it's hard to fall asleep, and it really gets you on your toes quite quickly. So, yes, the association of the devotees, but particularly the more advanced devotees, is being emphasized here. That's a fact. That one should regularly hear from such devotees, and in this way, one can become, one can develop some detachment from the very thing itself, household existence. So, So here we are, having our housewarming and heartwarming ceremony. And I was just checking, reading a little over the last half hour, one hour perhaps, on this subject. And I read Srila Prabhupada. There's a book actually about Prabhupada in Malaysia. And in that book, I just read a little excerpt. Prabhupada was commenting how in Malaysia, the Indian people who all went there under the British, whenever it was, the same idea as here. But Prabhupada's saying that those people, they went there and maintained certain of their standards and practices and ceremonies. And Prabhupada there mentions they do this, they do that, they do different of these things, and they do housewarming ceremony. Yeah. In other words, even though it may not be exactly one of the 10 samskaras, which are like, very deep things, but it's not unimportant. It is important to get into the house on the right foot and not, Yes, to get off to a good start, because it's such an important new phase of life. And as I was thinking about it, and indeed I was considering reading a verse from that particular place, I was reminded of when Narada Muni went to Dwaraka to visit, not just visit, but to see, witness how Lord Krishna was living as a householder with his 16,181. Yes. So Narada Muni, yes, he went. And there's a whole chapter dedicated to it. It's sort of 63rd or 60-something chapter of the 10th canto. And so Narada Muni's moving around. And first of all, he walked into... it's just such an interesting chapter. First of all, he walked into one house, and Krishna greeted him. Oh, Narada Muni, please come in and sit down. And he washed his feet and greeted him and all these things so nicely. And Narada Muni was very impressed. On one hand, in fact, Prabhupada, perhaps it's in the Krishna book, but somewhere, Prabhupada mentions that actually Narada Muni might well have thought that the Supreme Lord, I can't have him wash my feet. If anyone's going to wash anyone's feet, I should wash him. But still he accepted it, because he understood this is the Leela of the Lord as a householder. As a grihastha, he's doing this because he's just really deeply absorbed in this whole sort of ethos, you could say, of being a householder and really setting the right standards and just doing everything very nicely. And in this way, making household life wonderful, glorious. So Narada Muni, there was Narada Muni, and it's all going on. But Narada Muni, after just a little while, he decided, okay, that's enough. And just walked out. He just walked out in the middle of whatever was going on. And he went to the next palace. And again, he just walked in. And Lord Krishna was, oh, Narada, you've come. How wonderful. Please come in. As if he didn't know. Just like when he walked into the first house. And the Lord, of course, is omniscient, but by a certain standard, he didn't know. So the second time was exactly the same. Oh, you've come to visit me, how wonderful. So Narada Muni was, he went from palace to palace. And some of them, Prabhupada says, he just walked out. He didn't wait till the end, because you know how it works. When you're a guest and you're in the host's house, then you're meant to ask permission to leave. You certainly don't just in the middle of whatever's going on walk out. But you're actually meant to, it's not that you just say, well, you know, okay, I have to go now. But you have to ask permission. And it's, you know, in these regards, it's interesting. It must be the 8th chapter of the first canto, or somewhere, it's around there. Lord Krishna is just after the battle of Kurukshetra. And Lord Krishna, he's been there with the Pandavas and the family members after the battle for some days. Everything sort of settling down a bit after the battle. And then Lord Krishna asked Maharaj Yudhisthira for permission to go. And Maharaj Yudhisthira said, in a word, no. Not exactly just no, but he said, please stay on a little longer. And Lord Krishna stayed on. It's something like another week or something. But it wasn't just, you know, another half hour. But he stayed on for some days. So, but Narada Muni, when he was there, witnessing Lord Krishna, Lord Krishna's daily activities in his palaces with his wives and children, Narada Muni was just walking out. Every palace was, oh, Narada Muni, oh, you've come. How wonderful. How fortunate we are. But Narada Muni witnessed, in each palace, Lord Krishna was doing different things. In some palaces, or shall we say in one palace, he was having some joking pastime with the particular one. You all know better than me, but I imagine such pastimes occur. So there, he saw some joking pastimes going on. In another palace, he saw Lord Krishna making arrangements for a marriage or some marriages of some of his children. In another palace, Lord Krishna was meeting with some ministers about governmental administrative affairs. In another palace, Lord Krishna was playing some games, maybe chess or something. And in another palace, he was meeting with his children. And I'm sure there's a few other things if you read through, you'll see. And Narada Muni was just so pleased and so inspired because he saw, here is our Lord setting amazing examples for regular householders, grihasthas. Yeah. So Narada Muni was extremely impressed and pleased at the mood of responsibility of the Lord. So in our literatures, there are different places where such things are described. Yeah, there are different places. And it's all very instructive for householders. In one palace, I just remembered, Lord Krishna was meeting with some of his ministers or even army leaders about possibly declaring war on somebody. Please don't do that. But, you know, in order to make life, as nice and as successful and progressive and happy as possible, then one has to learn these principles. Actually, one has to learn the principles which are relevant to one's own personal particular situation in life. Here, of course, we're focusing more on the grihastha side, and the majority of you are grihasthas, so it's relevant in that sense. But, you know, here and there, in some places you'll find it's focused on, like, this 14th chapter of the 7th canto. In other places, you just find something here, something there. For example, it's in, is it the? I'm going to read you a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, which is highly instructive and just very, sorry, important for householders, and particularly for ladies. Listen to this. This one. A chaste woman should not be greedy, but satisfied in all circumstances. She must be very expert in handling household affairs and should be fully conversant with religious principles. She should speak pleasingly and truthfully and should be very careful and always clean and pure. Thus, a chaste woman should engage with affection in the service of a husband who is not fallen. That's sort of crucial point there. Mm-hmm. Who is not fallen. It's 7:11:28, if any of you want to read it. And there's a purport by Prabhupada, which is kind of quite revealing. So this is, you know, this is very instructive. Extremely instructive. Then, what is it? Then there is the whole section in the one of the cantos of the Bhagavatam in which Diti, who is the one of the at least two, I'm not sure how many there were, but at least two wives of Kasyapa. Kasyapa's great Brahman authority. And he has at least these two wives who are sisters, Diti and Aditi. And Aditi was at that point already the mother of all the demigods, or so many of the demigods. But at that point in time, Diti had not had any children. And it was really troubling her. So Kasyapa came home one day, and there was Diti on the floor, distraught, just in just sort of beside herself emotionally and totally destabilized. And Kasyapa, the husband, of course, what's the first thing he asked is, what happened? What happened? But she is unable to answer because she's just too distraught. So then Kasyapa goes on to sort of, anyway, to question her. Was it this? Was it that? Was it something else? But you know what was the first thing that he asked? That did this happen? You know, obviously because he's feeling that if that thing happened, that could lead to her being in such a condition. And it's just so interesting. He says, first thing, were you unable to receive an uninvited guest properly? First thing he asks, it's not like, did someone steal from you? Did someone hit you or something? Which you would think is more dramatic. But this was the first thing. Were you not able to receive an uninvited guest properly? Is that what it is? But it wasn't actually. It was just that she was overwhelmed by the desire to have children. But it, you know, it's very educational. And you just find it, it just appears there. As a few words in one verse, and then it's gone. Mm-hmm. So like this, you find these snippets. And sometimes you find some in-depth discussions, but otherwise you find snippets here and there of very instructive points. And here we're talking about for the householders. I remember it's a bit of a long story, but one very interesting character from South America ended up in England in Bhaktivedanta Manor. He had been a big star brahmachari. Really prominent, and he was that sort of, you know, kind of forceful, dynamic person, kind of flashy. And he was very attached to be like that. And he was respected greatly and treated very, very nicely. And he was attached to all of that. But then he found that he had become attached to the idea of becoming a householder. And he just couldn't get free from it. So he did, became a householder. And then somehow he ended up in England or pastoring. And this devotee, he's a householder. He is a householder. But he's still got this, a part of him has this idea about being the brahmachari. So he didn't just wear white. He wore a saffron kurta. Yeah. But he told us a story. It's an interesting story. That he had just, you know, some whatever it was, a little while before, he had just actually got married. And Srila Prabhupada had been, if not present, but he visited, like, very shortly, a matter of days or a week or so afterwards, something like that. And so this devotee went on the morning walk with Prabhupada. And he wanted to ask Prabhupada a question about household life, and he wanted to get like a profound answer, kind of foundational answer for developing his household life. So on the walk, he asked Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, what are the duties of a grihastha? And Srila Prabhupada just looked at him and said, give charity, don't be miserly, and walked on. And the devotee thought, that wasn't so profound. I wanted some more, you know, some in-depth things. So about 2 or maybe 3 weeks later, he was in some other place in South America, and Prabhupada was there, and it was a morning walk. And he thought, okay, you know, maybe Prabhupada was just in a certain mood that day. Let me ask him again, and maybe I'll get the profound, in-depth answer, which I can build my grihastha life on. So there they are, they're on the morning walk, again, and he asked Srila Prabhupada, what are the duties of a grihastha? And Prabhupada said, be charitable, don't be miserly, and walked on. Anyway, you know, you find these things there. Mm-hmm. So, Pritesh G has just moved in or is in the process. This beautiful house, isn't this a nice room? Mm-hmm. With a high ceiling, look at that. It slightly gives the impression the room is not as big as it is, the height.
Yes.
But actually it's quite a big room. Do you know how many square meters it is?
Actually. Offhand, I'm not sure.
Okay, anyway, it's a fair size. And, oh, I can see. I am now looking into the future. Crystal ball. I have seen in the future. There will be many Krishna conscious programs right here. Yes, and the rest of the house, we did a complete tour, even into all the bathrooms, and it's nice. And an interesting thing, the neighbors can't see in. There's just one place a little further over where there's one window they might sort of partially see into the yard, but they won't really see. And otherwise there's just no windows at all looking in. That's nice. So, there you are, devotees. Thank you all for coming and gracing the occasion, the program, and giving your blessing. It's very important to get blessings, but also under suitable circumstances to give blessings. It's a reciprocal thing. It's not just one way. We just want to get the blessings. Giving blessings, well, that's for someone else. No, under suitable circumstances, blessings should be given. And if not, like in the formal sense, but at least in the sense of warm feelings, congratulations, good wishes, in that sense. These are all blessings, actually. So therefore, everyone, please give your blessings to Pritesh and Vijayta. Hari Bol!
Hari
Bol!
Hari Bol!
Hari Bol!
Hari Bol!
His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya
Swami Maharaj Ki Jai.
So thank you, Maharaj. We welcome. Anyone has a question?
So just before Dad says something, I'd like to, just from the bottom of our hearts, Maharaj, just express our gratitude and sincere appreciation for your causeless mercy. For always pulling our ear in the right direction and giving us that association of the person Bhagavat always. And I feel very fortunate to be graced by so many wonderful devotees on this wonderful occasion. And infusing the house with Harikatha, I think, is very, very important. And I think with your vision, Maharaj, we will strive to make that vision a reality. And we'd like to welcome all the devotees and Maharaj especially, that you always have a seat to spread Harikatha whenever you are in Johannesburg. So please bless us with your further association. And I'd like to thank all the devotees. I know it's Monday, tomorrow's work as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, thank you very much for coming through. And you know, thank you for all your blessings and appreciate and we will sincerely grateful. And I think that would just sum up with a few words, but I think Maharaj, you've wrapped it up quite nicely. Hare Krishna.
We say it all. So yeah, thank you Maharaj, I know you have a appreciate you, but thank you for guiding your children as your own children. And also the devotees, your presence, because association is important. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you. So the next part of the program will be some prasad. And yeah, thank you.
Srila Prabhupada.